Yesterday, Sierraji started to speak about Bhumi, about how the earth is a place where beings arise, where beings live and dwell, where things are established, where things rest, and it's called Bhumi in Pali. And like this, our nama and rupa, our life, is like the earth, in that it's a place where things can arise. It's a place where good plants or bad plants can arise. So if with a plot of land that we have, if we just let it go, then weeds will sprout. It won't be useful, and it won't be good to look at either, a plot of land that is just a tangle. So if we make use of it, on the other hand, even if we only landscape it, at least it will be good looking. We can plant things that are useful as well as good to look at, and we can get the benefit of those of the plants, useful plants. We can even put houses on it. So we can cultivate our piece of land, and it will be useful, good to look at too. And if we do nothing with our plot of land, it won't be good to look at all, and it will just be useless. So to the extent that we cultivate our land, it becomes valuable. And our life is the same way. To the extent that we cultivate the practice, our life becomes very, very valuable. So it said, not noting, not knowing. Kilesas come in. So Sierraji described this, how if one doesn't observe with the practice of Satipatthana, when sense experience happens, seeing, hearing, smelling, and so on, then there will be ignorance. One won't know the phenomena that is really there, nama and rupa. And this is moha. So not only do we not know, but there's knowing in the wrong way. And in addition to moha, one won't have any thought of shame regarding kilesas, moral shame. And there won't be any fear regarding kilesas uprising. And furthermore, the mind will just be going where it wants. It will be scattered. So even if there's no greed or hatred arising, there will still be these four of moha and lack of shame, lack of fear, regard moral shame and moral fear, and scattered mind. With the absence of sati, then the mind has no protection. So when an attractive object arises, there will be greed. When an unattractive object arises, there will be dislike, anger, and the mind will be going out of control. Just like weeds in a plot of land, which is left alone, left to go wild. So just as that plot of land becomes attractive, so too our being becomes unattractive when we don't apply any, we don't cultivate our being with the practice. Without any control, we transgress physically and verbally. So we harm others through our actions, through our speech, and we make them suffer. So we cause, and this causes many social problems. When one lacks consideration for others or feeling of empathy, then one harms others. One can be cruel. Without mental control, through the practice, there will be thoughts of wanting to harm others, thoughts about how to gain what others possess, and there will be wrong view as well. That's why with the practice we're instructed to note at every arising, to always apply awareness to note the arising object. So with the practice, one applies effort to observe the object when it arises, and one makes one's aim accurate. Doing this, sati arises, and with sati, the mind doesn't go anywhere. So when we do this, the mind, then when we practice like this with virya and sati, samadhi, then first of all, kilesa, the field of kilesas does not arise. And second of all, when the mind becomes clean, knowledge starts to develop. First of all, seeing clearly the distinction between nama and rupa, physical and mental. Then secondly, starting to see how they are related as cause and effect. And then one comes to see how these mental and physical elements that are related as cause and effect arise and pass away. Because they do this, they're not satisfactory, and they lack an inherent self. They're out of anybody's control. And when one continues to observe, and one comes to know the fast arising and passing away of phenomena, then one will experience light or joy or tranquility, and one will feel very joyous and happy. Continuing with the practice, vipassana knowledge will develop in stages, one by one. And in this, when this happens, one has made one's life into a very valuable thing, like a very beautiful piece of land. So, but even before one gets to this point, even when one starts to know the things just mentioned, when one knows just a little bit, the Dhamma pulls one along. The Dhamma makes one more and want to practice more and more. And the teacher has no need to encourage the yogi when this happens. The Dhamma is just pulling the yogi along. The teachers here know best if there are such yogis here or not. So for respectful yogis, yogis who practice with respect for the practice, their lives will be vipassana bhumi. This will be happening in their lives most of the time. If one doesn't observe with the method of satipatthana practice, when the nama and the rupa, the physical and mental phenomena, arise in one's body, in one's being, as it said, not knowing, not noting, not noting, not knowing, kilesas come in. When one doesn't observe phenomena at the moment that they arise, then regarding those nama and rupa, arising nama and rupa, kilesas will arise. When one observes the obvious arising object as it happens, even if knowledge hasn't arisen yet, the kilesas do not have a chance to arise anymore. This is because virya, sati, and samadhi have gotten there first. They've taken the place of the kilesas, so there's no place for the kilesas to arise. So when one makes effort, in the practice, there won't be any laziness arising, and sati will arise, protecting the mind. The mind will become secure, and the mind will become collected. If this is occurring every single second, then even when knowledge has not yet arisen or is not arising, kilesas are still kept out. So as Siyaraji said yesterday, aparinyata kanda kilethanang bhumi. That means that when the khandas are nama and rupa are not seen clearly, are not discerned clearly, they become the ground for kilesas to arise. So not seeing them clearly, one doesn't come to know nama and rupa, the mental and the physical. One doesn't come to see how they are related by cause and effect, nor does one come to see how they arise and pass away, how they are unsatisfactory because of that, and how they lack an inherent self. So when that happens, kilesas will begin to arise, beginning with moha, ignorance. But if one observes with the practice, applying effort so that sati arises, so that samadhi arises, then one will surely come to know. There will be no lack of moral shame. So there will be no ignorance when one comes to know. There will also be no lack of moral shame regarding kilesas, no lack of moral fear regarding kilesas, no scattered mind. And every moment that one observes, one will be gaining a profit. So why is it that kilesas arise? The answer is aparinyata. It's because the khandas, nama and rupa, are not clearly known and seen. When one doesn't know mental and physical phenomena, nama and rupa, and how they're related as cause and effect, how they arise and pass away, are unsatisfactory and lack an inherent self, then nama and rupa become kilesa bhumi, the field for kilesas to arise. If one doesn't want kilesas to arise, one needs to observe every second of the time, applying effort to observe the arising object. When Siyaraji looks at some yogis, they look as though they're just reciting something they've memorized. They move about quickly, change posture quickly, act quickly. And although Siyaraji spoke about this just the other day, he doesn't see any change in some yogis. So this is a 1 month retreat. And if one doesn't, if one continues to practice in that manner, of doing things abruptly, then samadhi won't develop. So now the retreat is halfway over, and there's still half the time left. If one tries, with respect for the practice, effort to observe the arising object, then samadhi and knowledge can still arise. The teaching of the Buddha, or physical, verbal, and mental cultivation is needed for everyone. One needs to acquire cultivated physical, verbal, and mental behavior. With sila, the teaching of sila, one comes to possess cultured and refined physical and verbal behavior. One comes to possess the teachings of the Buddha regarding physicality and verbal behavior. And with regard to curing the obsessive defilements, we have the instruction to note at every arising, to always apply this method. When one applies effort to observe the arising object, sati will stick to the object, and the mind will become collected. When one moment is connected to another, then the obsessive defilements, which would otherwise arise, don't have a chance to rise in one's mind. So each second of the time, the pariyotana, kilesas, the obsessive defilements, will be dying out. Every second of the time, the kilesas will be dying down. And if they happen to arise in the mind, one will know right away. And sometimes one might miss a noting, but one will know right away. So as soon as a defilement arises, or one's sati misses, one will know it and will correct it. So in this way, the training of samadhi, or the teaching of samadhi, has been developed based on one's nama and rupa. When knowledge arises, then the field of panya occurs. So this is the teaching of the Buddha, to develop these three teachings of sila, samadhi, and panya. So when one acquires, when one comes to acquire the teachings of sila, of samadhi, and panya, or of morality, concentration, and wisdom, then this is fulfillment of the teachings, sasana sampatti. And one's behavior becomes very refined and cultivated. What is the cause for one's behavior to become cultivated and refined? It is sadukang savana and sadukang manasikara. Sadukang savana means that one needs to listen to learn the method of practice. One needs to listen respectfully, listen carefully. So one needs to listen to the method of overcoming transgressive defilements by observing sila, morality. And one needs to hear how one must apply effort to note every arising object so that sati and samadhi, the samadhi khanda, can be developed. And further, one needs to know how, going from there, knowledge develops once the mind is clean. So one needs to listen respectfully to the method, and one needs to put it into practice respectfully. That is sadukang manasikara. One needs to take it to heart. So one has to observe the arising object so as to be face to face with it, so as to meet it head on. This is the yogi's job, to apply effort and aiming so that the mind meets the object directly. So the two things that are involved in developing cultured, refined behavior is to listen respectfully to the instructions, and secondly, to apply the instructions respectfully, meticulously. And if one doesn't do that, sasana sampatti, or fulfillment of the sasana, will never occur. This practice is for protecting ourselves. It's for developing our lives in a beautiful way. So if one is going to work, then one needs to listen first about how to do that work. So we're going to do the work of practice. We need to listen about how we need to apply effort to observe the arising object, and we need to try to aim accurately as soon as the object arises. And second part is that we need to, when we do the work, we need to do it respectfully according to the instructions. So only then will we come to possess cultivated, beautiful behavior. So one can draw a conclusion from this, that if one doesn't note every action that one performs, then there won't be any effort, there won't be any mindfulness, there won't be any samadhi. And without samadhi, there will be no knowledge. Thus, every single action that is performed will become the ground for kilesas to arise. So as to not let kilesas arise, every act of body and mind is to be observed. So one needs to have a mind that values the benefits of the practice, that has faith in the practice, and a desire to gain the results that come from it. When one notes and knows the khandhas, then knowledge arises. So when phenomena arise, if we note it with the practice of satipatthana, if we observe the arising nama and rupa with the practice of satipatthana, then one will come to know their characteristics. How they arise and pass away are suffering and without an inherent self. When one knows how they arise and pass away quickly, vipassana bhumi is arising. For respectful yogis, most of the time, knowledge is arising based on their nama and rupa phenomena. And this is vipassana bhumi, the field of vipassana. Similarly, in sitting, many unpleasant contacts can occur in the body. If there's contact with something that is hard to bear, then it feels unpleasant. And there can also be pleasant things that are pleasant to contact, so they create good feelings. At the start of practice, mostly what one experiences are the bad contacts and bad feelings. So if at that time one doesn't observe these patiently, bravely, with courage, if one just backs off from unpleasant sensations, then one's effort drops. Sati doesn't arise. Samadhi's not there. There won't be any knowledge. So one won't know the true nature. And at this time, there will be kilesa bhumi, the field of kilesas, occurring. In our body and mind, when various feelings arise, the noting mind needs to get there first. The noting mind needs to be active in noting the object. If one isn't able to note the feelings that arise, then, as it said, vedana pachyatana. So that means that feeling conditions craving. Feelings, good or bad, cause craving. When there's a pleasant feeling, if one doesn't observe it with noting, then one wants more. If there's an unpleasant feeling, if one can't observe that with mindfulness at the fore, then one craves for a good feeling. Further, the mind suffers. At that time, there's patiga occurring in the mind, which is dosa. And even when there's neutral feelings, there can the craving results if one does not observe them with awareness. Neutral feelings are very obvious in the higher stages of the practice. Everything becomes calm and quiet, and yogis like this. So this is how the neutral feeling can cause craving. So whatever feeling arises, whether it's good, whether it's bad, whether it's something neutral, whatever feeling arises needs to be observed with effort and mindfulness, concentration, so that vedana upasana, the repeated observation of feeling, always occurs. One has to observe bravely. One has to apply courageous effort and not change one's posture when feelings arise. Only when one does this will one gain collectedness of mind and be able to observe the feeling. If one doesn't observe courageously, if one gives in and changes posture, one won't know the unpleasant feeling. Therefore, one won't be able to overcome it, go beyond it. And when one is dissatisfied, there will be anger, and one will crave for something good. So one has to always observe the arising feeling with courageous effort and accurate aim, so that Vedananupassana, the repeated observation of feeling, arises. And then the feelings which arise will no longer be kilesa bhumi, the ground for kilesas to arise, but they will become vipassana bhumi, the field of vipassana. If one has an unpleasant feeling in one's body, and it becomes unbearable, people who fear sickness or death have a hard time getting over this. They can't get over this. So therefore, one should resolve, whatever happens in this hour, I'm not going to move. I'm just going to bear it patiently. So as one's noting the uncomfortable feeling, it may increase, become very strong, and one feels it's too much. So at that moment, one can reduce one's notings a little. You can note in a more relaxed way. Continue observing the pain, but just in a more relaxed way. And then one can go back to noting it more actively. So one does so, and then the pain may increase again, so it become unbearable. So at that point, one continues to note it, but in a more relaxed way. And so if you try like this, going back and forth between noting the pain in an active way and noting it in a more relaxed way, if it still becomes too unbearable, one can go back, just let it go, and go back to the basic object of the rising and the falling. And then, as one observes the rising and the falling, pain may come back again, so one has to go back and note it, and then go through the same process of observing the pain, sometimes backing up a bit, sometimes advancing a bit, but never letting one's mindfulness go. If one keeps on working with it in this way, one will eventually come to know the pain clearly, and there will no longer be any sense of where it is hurting or where it is hot. There will no longer be one's bottom is hurting or one's shoulder is hot or whatever. There won't be any sense of place where the pain or unpleasant feeling is occurring. There will just be unpleasant feeling and the mind knowing it. And at this point, it becomes very good to satisfying to note. There's just the unpleasant feeling and the vipassana mind. This is a good type of pain, and one will feel very satisfied, and one will even challenge pain to arise because one knows how to work with it. So those who have little patience, who are afraid of pain, and who change their posture constantly, they will not be able to develop the practice because they will not be able to get over this stage in the practice. When one observes unpleasant feelings, things that are difficult to bear, one comes to know the nature of unpleasant feeling. It makes the mind tired. That's what its nature is. Its characteristic is to make the mind tired. It uses up all the energy. And it functions to make the mind retreat. So it makes the mind back up. and how it appears to us, how it manifests, is like a thorn, the way a thorn pricks us. If the thorn is if a thorn is piercing us, and that thorn isn't removed, it just hurts time and time again. So that's how it manifests to us. And when we observe unpleasant feeling, we can come to know these. It's natural characteristic, how it functions, and how it manifests, or what the result is of it. So one has to observe unpleasant feeling whenever it occurs. Due to observation of unpleasant feeling, due to observation through the practice, neither in the texts nor in known history has there ever been anyone who has contracted illness due to applying the practice. There has never been anyone who has died from the practice, from observing unpleasant feelings. Instead, there are cases of people who have cured disease through the practice observing these difficult feelings. So as much as possible, Seiroji urges the yogis as much as possible to note the unpleasant feelings that arise in the body with patience, with courage, applying the instructions he's given so that one comes to know the feeling. So one needs to be patient, courageous, and determined not to change one's posture. So that is all for today. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.